hosts.
Week 6 is upon us, Q, Nick. Still in Disney or no? You back?
Yes, sir. Looking all at right. The, yeah, Art of Animation Studios. Got the Cars little look logo that. Picture right here.
Free yeah. Sponsorship.
Yes. Yeah,
speaking of sponsorships, thanks to Home Field Apparel, my wife just racked up. I got the alert on the credit card that she had bought herself some Tennessee Volunteers gear.
Yes.
That is I hated to break it to her that it's not going to be here by Saturday. So she's like, no, I'm a fan for life now.
As long as it's there for baseball season, right?
Yeah, that's great. Q, what's up?
Busy day. Refinished in the basement. Ready to talk college football.
Todd.
What's going on, fellas? Ready to get after it, man. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some college football.
Well, before we get into the exciting matchup on Friday night, Syracuse and UNLV, we've got a little baseball. Now I've got that on my mind. Thanks, Nick. football games tonight. Texas State taking on Troy. Sam Houston State taking on UTEP. Are y'all doing anything on these tonight?
No.
No.
You don't want any of the Bobcats.
One of my leans was Texas State team total just because Troy hadn't played a very good offense yet. But the number is a little bit inflated for me, especially for a Thursday on short rest. So I ended up staying off.
If I'm not mistaken, UTEP's pretty bad, correct?
Yes. Confirmed bad. I think they have the lowest power rating. Maybe Kent State takes cake there.
Kent State has to be the lowest team.
All right. Well, UTEP's down there. I would say, if anything, figure out something to do with Sam Houston State.
Yeah. What an awesome comeback win last week by them. Yeah.
Great. At the beginning of the year, a lot of people thought this was going to be a down year for them, and what a great job they've done. So, no play for me. I'm going to eye up the NFL, and I might do something with the Major League Baseball. 3-1 right now in the postseason, so I'm going to eye up something and try to get a winner tonight.
All right, let's get into UNLV Syracuse. Battle of Kyle McCord and Haj Malik Williams, who came in for the disappearing act of Matthew Sluka. Didn't skip a beat. Still 4-0 against the spread. Syracuse sitting here, I know they can move the ball with Kyle McCord. I actually think he leads the country in passing yards maybe, but I don't know. Do you step in front of this running Rebs train tonight or tomorrow night, Q, or are you back in the orange plus the points?
Well, I took them in a teaser, the Q, so I like them. I got them up to 14.5. I just think that's way too much. But I think Syracuse can hang in this game. I guess it depends on where the line's currently at. If you could get like 7.5, I'd probably lean Syracuse still because I think it's going to be within touchdown game. When you start getting that 6, 6.5, it's a little dicey. I don't know if Syracuse can go on the road out west and win it, but I think they can definitely keep it close. It should be a good matchup for Friday night football. We've had some duds Friday night, but
I think so. I made these graphics, I think, on Tuesday. And so all these lines and the betting percentages are effective that date. However, I think a lot of these lines have stayed the same. I know Tennessee, Arkansas has stayed right there at that 13.5, which we'll get into that one in a little bit. It's a little fishy, but more money coming in on UNLV than anything else, yet that line stands still. Nick, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I actually played the over in this one already. I think 58.5 is too low. I think you could look at this both ways. It's either you could see like the Taj Malik Williams continues the hot streak for UNLV and their offense with him being the better passer and just like their offense continuing to stay on a hot streak. Or you could see Kyle McCord going off. Like, this is a fast track here. They're playing in Vegas. I think 58 is too low. Like, cause I think one of these teams, even if you don't consider the spread or like who you think's going to win, I think one of these teams gets in the 40s. So even if you get the other ones in the 21, 22 to 24 range, then the over hits. Yeah, so I already played this at 58.5 minus 110. I think that's the way to do it.
So Kyle McCord, not number one in passing yards. He is fourth in touchdowns, and he is ninth in passing yards. So as Tim Walz said, I misspoke. Todd, what are you doing in this one?
Man, Nick sold me. I think I'm going to jump on that too. You know, hey, I put it out there. I think retweeted it last week or said it on the recap show. These Monday night dogs or Monday night, Friday night dogs are barking. I think it's like 9-3. But Syracuse a lot better at home. They do got to go out west. I mean, this, how much, I know Vegas has a lot of action every night because we've been out there and there's a lot of action, but man, it's like Tark the Shark, man, for back in the days when Larry Johnson's running around on the basketball court, man, this place is going to be electric, going to be fired up. Best start since 1978 for the Running Rebels, man. They'll be ready to go. Williams, good game. Or yeah, Williams, 182, three touchdowns, ran for over 100 yards. I saw on some site they were reporting that when they said that quarterback was leaving, that the locker room cheered. They wanted this guy. So we'll see. I don't know where to go here. I think Nick sold me on the total. Let's get a high-scoring game Friday night, and let's go on the over.
I don't think anybody under the age of 40 understood your reference at all. Wow. That time.
You know,
that's why you're here. You're
that's why
I'm the old school. If you don't know who the Running Rebs in Tark is, man, then you should not be a college basketball fan. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Missouri, Texas A&M. This is another weird line that really has not moved. I'm hearing that Connor Wiegman is probably going to be out again, which to benefit of Texas A&M, I think that's the smart choice. Missouri, though, 4-0, but 2-2 ATS. And I'm not sold on them. The projections here make them a slight favorite. I know A&M's numbers are bad, mainly because they didn't really do a whole lot against Arkansas. We know they didn't do a lot against Notre Dame in that defense. But Missouri getting tested here, going on the road to College Station, I think A&M's got to be looking at their schedule and at this point be glad they're 4-1. But 1-3 ATS, I mean, do you see them winning this one outright? Or do you think Missouri has a good shot to win it, Q?
I think Missouri is going to win a close one. It's going to be within 7 points. A&M's defense is there, the front line. I just don't know if the offense can score enough to hang with Missouri. I think Missouri's going to get some points. I do think they're going to – this is their toughest test, playing the Aggies. But offensively, I know that Wiegman's out, and that, like you said, that's beneficial to the offense. But I just think Missouri's going to win a game kind of like, yeah, I guess that 28-24 number. I think if you're getting plus two on a team you think will win small, I think you're looking on the right side. I just don't think A&M's as polished enough to win outright.
As my dog goes crazy. Nick?
Yeah, so let me preface this by saying, I think – so this would be a different game if it wasn't at noon. Like Kyle Field angle changes quite a bit between a noon game versus a night game. I think I took – I have already played this. I took the Mizzou money line at plus 115. Best number is at BetMGM. I think Missouri will use last weekend versus Vandy as a wake-up call. I don't think they've tried to show a lot. I think they were still trying to save stuff for when they get like deeper in SEC schedule. Brady Cook and Luther Burden at some point have to take over. They will be the two best players on the field. A&M, like whether it's Marcel Reed, like from what I've heard, you guys said something different. Like, so maybe I have different like sources or like info. I just heard like whether it's Wiegman or Marcel Reed are both kind of, they're both kind of 50-50 on who's starting. But I agree with you that Marcel Reed would be their better choice. But from what I've heard is if Wiegman's healthy, that's who they're going with as a starter, which I'm totally against. So I have Mizzou here on the money line. And I'll admit it is also kind of a fade on because I have the Mizzou team total under 7.5 wins on the or 9.5 wins on the season. So this is kind of a bit of a hedge here for me taking the Missouri money line with the plus money. But I just do think of the better team. I don't see it in A&M. Like they've played three good teams. They've lost two of them. So yeah, I'm just here. I just think Mizzou's a more talented team and just wants it more.
Missouri's coming off a bye, right?
Correct. Yeah. It was maybe 2 weeks ago, the overtime. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite here. I played it earlier in the week. I'm with Texas A&M. I'm 0-1 with Texas A&M this year. I took a money line against Notre Dame. It didn't turn out well, and Nick was the winner, so maybe he'll go through that. I know I'm either, though. But, Yeah, you know, I don't like hearing. I hope it's Reed. I think Reed's the better quarterback. You know, diving into this, I don't like coming off the bye. I always like teams coming off the bye. And this is a Mizzou team that we said they have a lot of talent. Quarterback's good. They got some weapons here. So, and I like what Nick said about the time. And that's in a lot of stadiums. You know, you get that early noon kickoff. It's different of a 3:30 to a night game. I think that's well said. And I think people, you know, if you're diving into this and trying to gamble, you should kind of keep an eye on that. But when I looked at this, you know, they beat Murray State. They beat Buffalo. You saw last week UConn put a thumping on Buffalo. I don't know how great that Buffalo team is. Maybe Northern Illinois is not that great of a team either because Buffalo beat Northern Illinois. They were struggling against BC, and they really should have lost to Vandy. So I'm going to go. I did money line. I think it was minus 130 earlier in the week. I'm going to take the home field. I hope Reed's the quarterback. If it goes back to the original guy, I'm a little nervous on this. I think it's a close game, but I'm going to take A&M.
All right, little oppo action there. SMU Louisville. I'm kind of excited about this one. The projections make Louisville a short favorite. I think SMU is – I don't know.
What team shows up?
Yeah, it kind of depends on which SMU team shows up. I don't know. It's a coin flip, so I think if you can get the touchdown, go SMU here. I really don't know what to make. Louisville played really well. I think they played as good of a game as they could have last week against Notre Dame. I don't know if they can replicate that kind of success, albeit Notre Dame's defense is much better than SMU. We know that. But it – back-to-back games against a physical Notre Dame game, and now you're playing the high-flying SMU offense. I think a touchdown here is just too much. So I'm on SMU, which we'll get to later in our best bets. Q?
I'll be honest, I don't have a read just because I don't know what SMU team's showing up. I don't know if, like you had mentioned on the recap show earlier in the week, did Louisville play their Super Bowl last week? They lost it. Now they're kind of deflated. It's tough to know. I mean, it does help that they're at home coming off a loss. Maybe you regroup. But again, if SMU comes out high and flying, then, you know, that's a team I think can win outright. If you get the SMU that played Nevada, then I think Louisville is going to have a pretty easy path to victory. So it's really up in the air for me. I want no parts of this game.
Nick.
Yeah, this is a top three play for me, as we'll see later in the show. Me and Maddie are on opposite sides. I think we're getting the best of the number here. So the look ahead number was 12 and Louisville by 12 and a half last Friday before SMU beat Florida State and before Louisville lost to Notre Dame. So I think we are getting by far the best of the number here with Louisville under a touchdown. I just think like Taylor Shuck played well. Like some of those throws he made against Notre Dame were silly. Like I don't know if you saw the one where he was like fading backwards and threw the ball sidearm into the back of the end zone against first round draft picks from the Notre Dame secondary. I think this team is just much better. It's in Louisville. SMU's coming off high against that Florida State win. That was probably more of their Super Bowl-ish type game compared to Louisville. I think that's going to be a little bit more of a letdown. I think Louisville just ends up – I don't think this ends up close, to be honest. I think Louisville by like 20-plus.
Todd.
I'm going to let you guys duke this game out. Yeah. I'm going to be like you. I was dead wrong on the Cardinals last week in the under with the Notre Dame game. I thought it'd be slower, so maybe I don't have a good read on them. I agree with Q. SMU, I think it's a good team. What team shows up? So I'm going to let you two go at it here on this one, and I'll sit back and keep an eye on it and see where it goes. But no, I think it should be an entertaining game, but I'm like Q, it's a pass for me.
I've got one against Smitty and one against Matt. Let's go.
All right. Pitt at North Carolina. This is a bonus one. Didn't make the graphic, but we're going to talk about it anyways. North Carolina's won two straight. They've won three of the last five. Pitt, we haven't really talked about them. They don't do anything great, but they also don't do anything really bad. They're 4-0 against the spread. Playing against a North Carolina team that has not covered a game yet. I think Mack Brown is cooked. This whole charade needs to go. The monumental collapse last week. I just want to say, if you had North Carolina +2, good job. If you had them on the money line, That was a bad beat. Q, you did anything with this one?
I'm not, but I don't know, because I might talk myself into it. I think Pitt wins the game. I think they cover the -3 personally. You said it best. I think Mac Brown, like, everything's crumbling there in Chapel Hill. I mean, when the guy's, like, trying to quit 10 minutes after the game, the team rallies behind him. Hey, we're going to pick this season up, and then you have a collapse literally the next week. Things aren't looking good there for the Heels. I think Pitt goes 5-0 after Saturday at noon. I don't see any positivity right now in North Carolina.
Nick?
No, stay far away from this game. Like, that's kind of all I can say. Like, I do think Pitt wins. But yeah, the line scares me. Like, because it does seem like Pitt should be more than a 3-point favorite, which this is one of those where when you look at the line, it's like, does somebody know something I don't know? This is just one of those like that sits in the back of your head, because Pitt's absolutely the better team. North Carolina, like, don't forget, gave up 70 points to James Madison 2 weeks ago and then blew a 21-point lead to Duke last week. So why is an undefeated Pitt team only a 3-point favorite? Chapel Hill, not exactly a great home field advantage, especially when they're not any good. So
I will say, Nick, though, they do line up with our IPRs, and I feel like our IPR is pretty consistent.
They do. They absolutely do. Yeah, I guess I'm just using – I'm just using eye test.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, when you look at it, which is why I'm staying off of it, because, like, my eye test versus numbers, and I see those numbers, and they line up way closer than what my eye test tells me. That's when I usually look at our website and realize, like, okay, maybe this is something I should lay off of, because they're like, the numbers don't line up with what I'm seeing. This is absolutely one of those games, so I'm staying far away from this.
Todd,
maybe look at the over, because you know Pitt's moving the ball. Bell, though,
sprinkle on it.
A little, you know, coming from Western Carolina, Pitt's been scoring. North Carolina can score, can't play D. Pitt sometimes gives up points. But, hey, what can I say, man? My sister went to Pitt, and the great baseball player Rob Garvey went to Pitt. So let's take the Panthers.
Are you done with that eulogy? All right, Pitt.
Over. A lot of points. Let's go.
Hey, you add in 2 points for home field advantage. It's North Carolina plus half. We've got Pitt 0.81 on the site. Give me the 3 with North Carolina. Mac Brown, don't do this to me again. And Iowa, Jordan, go Hawks. I cannot disagree with you here. I really, really wanted to bet Iowa here, because I've been lower on Ohio State, and I feel like a lot of people. They have the most expensive salary cap in college football, and I'm just not buying them at that elite level. Please, please, Iowa, just one time here, cover a spread. And if they could win outright, hats off to them. I don't think that's going to happen. But, Jordan, thanks for watching. Go Hawks. Q, can I interest you in a nasty Iowa plus 20?
If it gets up to, like, 21, I think I would jump on it, because I want that 3-touchdown push. I think Iowa's defense can keep him in the game. They have gone into Columbus and made some issues for Ohio State in the past. Offensively, they're a little better than what we've seen over the last 10, 15 years. Ohio State, I don't know, they kind of seem a little down offensively. Maybe like they're just not clicking 100%. But they're, the talent's there. I mean, they're so talented defensively, offensively. I think this game ends in that 17-21 range. Like, I don't think Ohio State wins by 35 by any means. I don't think Iowa can keep it closer than 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, I don't know. I might 330. If the noon slate's looking good, I might sprinkle a couple dollars on it. We'll see.
Nick?
Totally opposite side. And I'll be fully transparent. The only reason I haven't bet this yet is because I'm in Florida. And for some reason, Hard Rock is having an issue with my card taking my money. So I haven't been able to deposit more, but absolutely, I'm on Ohio State in this one. I don't think this is your typical Iowa team. Like, this is not your, let's just run the ball 50 times, waste clock, incredible defense, and try to hold the ball for 40 minutes out of the 60 minutes and keep the game close. They're like with an air raid, like that doesn't take the clock out of it at all. I think they give too many possessions to Ohio State. The line is now down to 18.5 was the last I saw. You're also looking at, I'm also looking at Ohio State team total at 31.5. So I don't know if I'm going to play the Ohio State number or the Ohio State team total, but this is, I just don't think this is your normal Iowa team that we've seen over the last 5 or so years. So I'm going to be playing this in some capacity. I'll end up putting it in our Discord. So everybody that has our Twitter and Discord can absolutely see it, but I will be on Ohio State one way or another come Saturday.
Smitty?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say Iowa has to really slow it down. They've been scoring some points this year. Lester has been kind of, like Nick just said, they've kind of changed it. They don't run a ton. They've been scoring points. You know, Ohio State has been, you know, they've been scoring 52, 56, 49, 38. But Iowa, too, you know, they've scored some points. I they really have to muddy it up a little bit and go slow on this. I don't know if they can. So it's a stay away for me. I don't like anything about Ohio State. I never do because I'm a Michigan fan, but it's a stay away for me. You know, the only thing I'll say, I believe Ohio State has to go out to Oregon next week. I think it's next week. Could it be a look ahead game? That's the only thing I'll say about this.
73% of the money now coming in on Ohio State minus 18, 78% on the over. That doesn't make sense.
I would say because this opened up 22.5 Ohio State. So I would say if you're going to bet this, literally leave it until Saturday and see if you can get a 17. Because this number has gone down 4.5 points already. See if you can get it to go down 5.5. If you get this a 17, just like I'm sure bigger groups than ours will hammer it as soon as it hits 17. But there's a possibility that you can get that number.
Yeah, I mean, that goes along with typically you bet the favorite early, bet the dog late.
Yep.
Because the public tends to like favorites. All right, Ole Miss, South Carolina. This one has me scratching my head. The projection is only 3.49 in favor of Ole Miss. It's a 9.5 spread that has not ticked to that 10. I think they know what they're doing. They're probably getting a ton of public money. 54% of the handle, 56% of the bets right now on Ole Miss minus 9. Does Lane Kiffin bounce back here, or did Ole Miss just kind of show that maybe they're not that great and they've just been beaten up on the school of the blind?
I think it's a little bit they'll bounce back, but I'm not as high on the South Carolina team. I mean, the one loss they – should have won. I think they're a little worse than maybe their 3-1 record shows. Kentucky's a weird win. Like, half their team right now is questionable on the offensive side. I mean, most of them will probably play, but that just tells you they're not 100%. I got to think Ole Miss wants to go in there and win big for Juice Wells. I know there's a lot of animosity with that. Chris Phillips from SECU was talking a bunch about it this week, how it was just a nasty breakup. I got to think those guys, like I said, for Ole Miss, want to go in there and kind of flex their muscle a little bit. Hey, this is why Juice came to us. And I think Ole Miss can win by more than 10. I really do. I think it might start off a little close because I think there's going to be some South Carolina Gamecock adrenaline going. But I think Ole Miss can kind of pull away in the second half.
Gamecock adrenaline.
That's it.
Easy cue. Easy.
Not tonight, sweetheart.
Little beating.
All right, Nick, what are you doing?
I have a play on this already. So we're going back to the well. I have Ole Miss first half minus 4.5. I do think Lane Kiffin writes a ship. Like, even last week when they lost to Kentucky, that game script, the first 15, 20 plays, like, Ole Miss just drove right down the field and Kentucky had no answer. So I still trust him in the first half. South Carolina, you still have Lenore Sellers, who's questionable. You have Rocket Sanders, who is questionable. So I'll go ahead and lay this number at 4.5. And then, because even later in the week, like maybe we find out Friday or Saturday that both those guys play, this line is going to move. So yeah, give me Ole Miss minus 4.5. I don't think South Carolina has anybody that can cover Trey Harris. And I think they're just going to immediately just keep throwing the ball to him. He's leading the country in receiving yards by 150 yards over the guy who's second, which is just absurd. So I think I still trust this Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, Trey Harris. I think South Carolina, the only thing that does scare me is Kentucky kind of exposed that Ole Miss offensive line a bit. And South Carolina, that's what they – the South Carolina's defensive line is legit. Like, that's a top probably 10 defensive line in the country. But I still think Ole Miss – I think Lane Kiffin is usually great. As Q has said multiple times during this show, if you give him a huge matchup, Kiffin's going to let you down. But if you give him somebody they're going to beat, Kiffin will find a way to blow him out. I think this is just one of those – I think this is one of those lines where Ole Miss ends up just taking absolute control of South Carolina here.
Todd.
Over. I think Ole Miss bounces back and scores a lot of points. And I think South Carolina can throw a little bit of points on them. I'd be looking at the over. I think it's a high scoring game.
All right. To the game that I will be in attendance for the thrashing. Tennessee at Arkansas. And let me just tell you. You've got Sam Pittman coming out saying Taylen Green is lacking in confidence right now, and he's about to go against the number one defensive EPA school out there. That's promising. Arkansas, my plus 23.17 in our projections. This line has stayed at 13.5 despite all the money coming in. I mean, people are betting this like they know the final score. Why in the world – Is it because they think there's going to be buyback? 92% still at minus 13.5 on Tennessee. Q?
I like the minus 13.5. I love it in a Todd Smith teaser down to 6.5. And I'll tell you why. Because I could see another Oklahoma Sooners game situation where a lot of Arkansas momentum early, a lot of adrenaline, and then he kind of towards the end of the game, pumps the brakes on a play call, and again, just to keep Nico and those guys healthy, just get to the next week because of how the format is now. That would only concern me if they had a 10-point lead and they didn't push or something late. So I really like getting it under that touchdown, but I still have no problem laying the 13.5. Tennessee's, in my opinion, the team to beat right now. I think they're better than Texas. I think they're more explosive on offense. I think Tennessee's potentially your national champion, so yeah, lay it with them, and I think you should be fine.
Wait, what did you just say? Eventual national champion?
I think so.
I love to hear it.
I hate to say it, but I think it's legit. Wow.
All right, Nick. Nicky, all right, what are you doing here?
Hey, cover your ears. Cover your ears, okay? I have already bet Tennessee minus 13.5 full game. I have bet Tennessee team total over 34.5, and I have bet Tennessee first quarter minus 3.5. I don't understand these lines. Like you said, like everything's being bet up, but the lines aren't moving. I don't get it. Everything I've seen from Tennessee and everything I've seen from Arkansas screams that this should be a 20-point line, at least. You're also looking at Tennessee's finally full. Like, they were not healthy against Oklahoma. That's why they ran the ball 50 times out of their 72 plays. They're off the line. It's fully healthy now. Coming off a bye week, Arkansas is one of only 12 teams in the country that hasn't had a bye yet. So they're also going to be a little bit more tired. Everything here just screams Tennessee absolute blowout. I don't see how Arkansas, like Taylen Green, yes, great athlete. But like Pierce off the end is just as fast, if not faster than Taylen Green. So he's not going to outrun him to the edge. When he's a top, whatever, 3 or 4 pick in the NFL draft. I don't know. I just think this is a bad Arkansas matchup. Bo Petrino, I don't think he finds – I don't think he finds something to do against this Tennessee defensive line. So, yeah, I think everything here screams blowout. I have 3 plays right now against Arkansas. 2 of them are going to be shown later on my best bets. So, if somebody could talk me out of it, try it, but – yeah, I've already laid quite a bit of money on Tennessee here in 3 different ways.
Well, I hope it's as profitable as my bet when I had Arkansas like 9 ways against Oklahoma State, all yeah. Cash except the money line. Toddy, what are you doing here?
All I got to say is I don't know if Nick will be on next week's show. And if you want to join the show, NCAA Insiders, because Matt might fire him after all those comments about Tennessee right there. So if you want to come on, Nick might not be here. Hey, guess what? I love Arkansas. Hey, Matt, keep me on the show. Now, the one thing, when I saw this line, I like the team points. I like the team points with Tennessee. I think it's, again, I like some, I think there's going to be some high scoring games this week, and I think this is going to be one of them. And I like the, I think it was 34 and a half, Nick said. Let's see if Arkansas can stay in the game. I agree with Q. I'm very high on Tennessee. I think they have a really good team. I think their defense is legit. It's not just an offensive team that scores a ton of points and gives up a lot that we've talked throughout the, you know, the last couple weeks on the show. So I think it could be high scoring. I think Arkansas will score a little bit, but I think Tennessee will put on some points. But again, anybody, Matt, I love Arkansas. Maybe I'll get one with through Home Field Apparel, get a t-shirt. So you keep me on the show, Nick. I don't know. I hope you're here next week, my friend.
What's up, Hovey? Thanks for tuning in.
What's going on? Sean, don't cuss at me. I'll never wear orange and white.
Yeah. The Florida fan, Quentin Mills, going to be rocking the Tennessee gear.
I only bet on Tennessee.
I mean, I said it last week. I thought the market would finally adjust to where I had Arkansas, and they did. We're 4-1 against the spread. I don't think that that goes unnoticed, and I think that may be why the odds have not came up more. However, my power ratings, we make this 16 if you add 2.5 points for home field advantage. So I think Tennessee is the play here. You've got my power ratings, 16. You've got Parker's analytics, -23.17. Why are we not hammering Tennessee, -13.5? I can't hate you for it. Todd, let's talk Michigan football.
Wait.
Whoa.
The public needs to know, Matt, did you play Tennessee against Arkansas?
You'll see in a second. Let's talk about Michigan, who can't cover a football game to save their lives.
That's a fact.
And I'm going to go to Todd first. What? Hey, nothing says Big Ten football like traveling to Seattle, Washington to take on the Washington Huskies.
That's it about. What game was it? Man, I saw it. Oh, no, it was Miami. It was Miami this week because they're at Cal. They said they're driving out their equipment and the mileage, and they weren't even halfway there yet. I mean, it's something ridiculous. It's crazy. So, no, I'll go nothing yet. A really good handicapper I'm really good friends with. He loves Washington in this game, money line. I think that's where a lot of people will go. Again, Michigan's on the road for the first time this year. Defense sometimes can look fantastic, and then it can disappear. What's Michigan going to have to do in this game? They're going to have to pound the ball. Mullins, Edwards has to have a big game. Quarterback-wise, what's he up to? I think he threw for 80-something yards last week.
He broke the 100.
I mean, can we please – I think – what's the name of the quarterback that's on their roster that's coming back from injury that was at Tuttle?
Oh, Sam Tuttle.
Nice. Listen, I don't care. Throw him in, see what he can do. I mean, I've always said this, bring the guy back that was throwing the INTs left and right, because at least he could throw the ball down the field a little bit. Hopefully he would just throw it to the right team. I think you have to do that. I don't know how long this Michigan team can keep doing this and just try to pound the ball. I'm going to stay off it. I know some people have plays on this. Can Michigan win this? I think they can if their defense really shows up and they can bully them a little bit. I think this is a Washington team, though. I'll say this. At the beginning of the year, I mean, this is two rosters from the national championship game that's completely just different. And I think a lot of people were going to say Washington was going to be really, really bad. The coach is a really good coach. And I think that, you know, the kid that came from Mississippi State, Rogers, the quarterback, is a good quarterback. I think they've hung there and played pretty well. I don't know. I'm staying off it. I'll watch a game. Go Big Blue. But that's all I have to say.
What does Michigan do badly? Pass the ball.
A lot of things.
What does Washington do good on defense? Stop the pass. They're not bad in rush defense either. 26th ranked. This is going to be a fun, ugly game. I think it's funny that it's at primetime, I guess, just because it's close proximity of the spread and it's a rematch of the national championship. Can bring in Tuttle, can't get any work. I agree. All right, as promised, the late night get out game, and it's a good one. Texas Tech taking on Arizona. Is this total not just like a guaranteed over? What are we doing here? 91% of the handle is on the over 64. This could be a track meet. Q.
Yeah, I like the over. I've got to play
bet the over.
I haven't bet it officially yet. I took a side. That's one of my plays. I believe it's my best play. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think both teams are going to be able to score on each other. Fifita should have a good stat line. I think Texas Tech's offense will be able to score on Arizona as well. Both teams a little suspect on defense. So I think it's got a little shootout there in the Midwest. West, whatever Arizona is considered. West.
It's got the Midwest.
West. West.
Nick.
It's out this way.
Get this game out of the way. Like, this is way too much variation for me here. Like, we've seen Arizona put up 55, and we've seen Arizona put up 7 against Kansas State. Like, they've got no Fifita, whatever, McMillan. Those guys can go, like, be awesome. Or they could do nothing. Texas Tech kind of the same way we saw. If that doesn't go into overtime last week against Cincinnati, they probably shouldn't have won that game against Cincinnati, to be honest. Like, they got outplayed. So, and that was in Lubbock. So, I don't know. I'm staying away from this. This number, like, I probably would lean over because these defenses are bad, but both offenses have also shown that they can have very off weeks. So, I'm just staying away from this one. But, yeah, I could see this going either way, like, from a line standpoint or over-under standpoint.
Give me the first quarter over in this one. I don't care what it is. It may be the highest one we've had all season. Hang on. I'm looking.
McMillan over 23 and a half catches.
Huh. What? No way.
Say take the under.
The line must be crazy.
23 and a half. 13 and a half. Juice to the over. Give it to me. Scripted plays, both teams going to score. Easy peasy. All right, let's get into bit.
I didn't get a say on that game, but
Todd, sorry.
I said you're irrelevant.
He got so wrapped up in that first quarter. I'm joking with you, Matt. Now, you know, it's a stay away for me. I think I was on Texas Tech money line last week. I think laid a little bit of juice to it. I liked them at home last week. That was a winner. One of the night games I gave out. Talked to Ryan Hyatt on the phone today. You know, a great Texas Tech guy. You know, he said, let's keep the line going up a little bit and keep an eye on Tech. That's all I'll say.
All right, let's get into best bets. But first, a message from Home Field Apparel. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Homefield has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
Are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these 6 games.
Absolutely. Q. Bounce back weekend, 2-1 last week. It's good job. Good job. We're digging ourselves out of the hole here. All right, give them to me.
I like Arizona State money line at home. Kansas 1-4. There's nothing really to play for. I think the way they lose these games, it's got to be demoralizing for the Kansas Jayhawks. So give me Arizona State money line at home. Texas Tech's my best bet. The line was at +7. I bought it up to 7.5. I think this is going to be a shootout, but I think it's going to be closer. I watched a lot of the game last week, Arizona versus Utah. If Cam Rising plays, Utah wins that game pretty handedly. Fifita didn't look that great until the fourth quarter. And then kid made a hell of a catch in the back of the end zone, and it just kind of took the air out of the stadium. But for all intents and purposes, they were struggling against Utah to move the ball. Washington money line, it's going to be an ugly game, but I like Washington. Get a little revenge, even though half the team wasn't there last year for the championship. Hey, this is a revenge spot. We get them at home. That's a long way for Michigan to travel. Quarterback issues. I just think at some point the run game's going to let the big blue down, and I think it's going to be against the Huskies.
Nick.
All right. We already talked about the two Tennessee plays. I don't like, yeah, I think this, so at least I know.
I don't know why you didn't do all three Tennessees, Nick.
It was, no, so I'm also going to be playing the Tennessee first quarter. So
we
like
did that, all Gators and it went 3-0. So.
Yeah. The Tennessee first quarter is a play of mine. It just wasn't one of my best bets. So I think even if I'm kind of covering myself, so even if Tennessee doesn't cover the 13.5, I think that's because Arkansas also, the offense kind of goes off a bit. So I think that means the Tennessee team total over still hits. So that's why I'm using that as my best bet. And then Louisville minus 6.5. We didn't talk about this one, or you guys probably did during the recap show, which I missed on Monday. But I think we're getting the best of the number here, considering you're getting Louisville coming off a Notre Dame loss, and you're also getting SMU coming off a victory against Florida State. So I think this number is just way different than what it should be. Louisville over it, like under a touchdown here, is just this number. This is just mispriced, in my opinion. I don't see how Louisville doesn't beat SMU with their, well, quote unquote, backup quarterback who they had to replace. This being in Louisville, I think to get them under a touchdown is just a hit here. So, yeah, I was like, so yeah, Tennessee twice, Louisville once, and then kind of my backup was the Syracuse UNLV over was the other one I was close to playing.
Toddy.
Hey, you know, 3-0 one week, 0-3 in the next. Let's go 2-1. I'll take it. I'll be a happy guy. Hey, let's go Arizona State. I'm right with Q. You know, it's a Kansas team that just, I don't know. I mean, the offensive coordinator went to Penn State. Is that a major deal? It's just not the team that everybody thought they were going to be. I think it's still a great head coach. The guy's won wherever he's gone, but I like Arizona State. I think they're coming off a bye too, so I like it. Hey, let's go UConn. I mean, this is a team – you know, if you look over the last 2 weeks, they've scored 48 and 47 points. They play Temple. Temple's given up 51, 38, 28, 29, 42. Let's go with that team point over 31.5. I like it. Hey, I'm going Navy Air Force. I've been on the phone talking to a lot of people. We've been going back and forth on this. I know these when these service academy teams, it's like 82% on the under. 13-4-1, I think. In the last 18 games in this series going under. Air Force has been dominating it. I think it's they've won the last four. But this is a different Navy team. Navy is scoring points, man. Listen, the last 49, 38, 56, 41. Air Force has given up 31 and 31 the last 2 weeks. I personally think Navy – now, there's a little bit of wind out there. Out in Colorado Springs, I believe, where they play. Yeah. I think it's about 10 to 12 miles per hour, but I think it's a different Navy team. Quarterback's been throwing up passing yards, running the ball. I think they can score anywhere from 28 to 30 something points themselves. Get Air Force to add maybe a couple, like a touchdown or two, or a couple field goals. I think this one goes over.
All right. Sean said, look at Grissom doing ad reads. It's almost like he went 7-0. Yes. So I went 7-0 in the Average Joe's contest on VSiN, which means regression is probably incoming, but let's get into it. I'm taking Georgia minus 23. I think you saw the offense wake up. I don't think Kirby Smart is going to take it easy on Auburn here. They're the better team. I don't even know who's starting quarterback at Auburn. I think at this point it could be Peyton Manning, and they're still not going to win games. Georgia minus 23, that line ticked down from 23.5. Love it. SMU, I talked about earlier, this we're opposite here. I think getting 7 in the hook, minus 137 on DraftKings. I just don't know if Louisville is ready for this offense now after getting in a physical game against Notre Dame. And then Tennessee, it's minus 13.5. Arkansas, you know, I've kind of bet with the trends with Sam Pittman here. He's great as a road dog. At home, as a dog, he's 5-4. It's not great. The atmosphere may be electric. If I was going to play anything remotely close to Arkansas, it would only be the first half. I think Tennessee milks it and runs away with it on the back end. So yeah, official play, Tennessee minus 13.5. Y'all got to catch up though. I'm like running away with it.
I felt the pain in your voice.
I don't know. I'm still there a little bit. I'm hanging.
I'm not showing off, but I'm falling far behind. So we're just going to do it. So,
Well, y'all got anything else on this week six slate? We've got a good one next weekend. And then I think pretty much from every weekend out, it's going to be nothing but top matchups. So,
yeah. Hey, what is it? 55 straight days of football on TV? Is that what it is?
55 or 56 starting today. Congratulations. You've made it. We're back with action, Maction, Conference USA, midweek games. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, college basketball right around the corner, too.
I think I'm ready for college baseball.
Yeah. This is also
starting with it in the chat.
This is also one of those weekends. It happens every season where we get in like conference play and there's always like one good game on the schedule and then like three or four upsets happen. And you realize, holy crap, college football just happened.
Yeah.
And, like, this could be very well because you also have, what is it, like six – you have six ranked teams that are on the road. So don't be shocked if we see a couple upsets, even though it doesn't seem like there's a – like, the schedule doesn't seem fantastic, that we end up with a great weekend of college football just because, like I said, college football happens. That's why we love the sport. It's just chaos. So don't be shocked if this is one of those weekends that doesn't seem – as great on paper, but ends up great to watch.
My friendship with Q is over because he has Washington as one of his best bets.
Q, I was contemplating taking UConn and Survivor. Do you feel like fading them again? Took Buffalo. Win, sorry, I didn't mean to bring up sour grapes here. Plus +7.
Yeah, I missed the boat on that. I didn't hit water if I fell into the ocean. But
well,
listen, we can negotiate a percentage. If I fade publicly UConn Huskies, we'll work something out on the table.
Hey, just score. Keep scoring UConn. That's all 90, I need.
97% of the handle is on UConn to cover minus 17. Against,
I mean, Temple is atrocious. They're Kent State level. I'd like to see that matchup.
It's Kent State. I mean, I think there's a couple. It's Kent State, Temple. Hey, real quick before FIU. We go on, what do you think? What do you think Boise State's going to throw on the board against Utah State this weekend?
400 Ashton Genty rushing yards.
Yeah,
I mean he's. I heard on VSiN he's on pace to beat Barry Sanders' record.
Yeah,
right
for
now.
His rushing yards and his touchdowns. And if he does that, he's going to New York. Like he might not win it because of the votes, but like if he beats. Or, like, even one of those two records, you have to at least invite them to New York because that's just absurd.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking at that market real quick, I have Jackson Dart, which that's dead. Cam Ward, I bought in, I think, after week one. Don't love that anymore, but 16-1 on Milrow or 13-1, I can't remember what it was. That's looking good as he's now plus +280. Travis Hunter, the next closest. Plus +360. Does he really? I know he is an electric football player, but does he really have a shot at this?
Can I jump in real quick? I think what Nick just said about the running back, I think what Hunter's doing, I think he has to get to New York. And it's a shame.
Is this the best team award or the best player in the country?
And that's the thing. I just said this to somebody the other day. I can't stand how it's a quarterback now just award because – you know, when I was growing up, and I'm going to go old school again, Matt's going to make fun of me, but that's why I guess I'm on the show here. Man, Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson, you had the running back that were there, Barry Sanders. It should be who deserves it. It should not just be a quarterback.
Who's the last running back? Ingram?
Henry or Ingram?
I would say it was one of them. I think it was Henry. I think, but I mean, what Hunter's doing is amazing. I mean, I was telling somebody, and they're like, "What do you mean?" Is they don't watch? And they go, "He plays both ways, and he plays nonstop." I'm like, "Yeah," and he's unbelievable in both. So,
well, I think part of it is too. Like, so a lot of it was the assumption that he couldn't win it because Colorado's only going to win five or six games. Like this past couple of weeks, like these past couple upsets, like with him beating UCF. Like, they're on pace to finish second or third in the Big 12. They might get eight wins.
Best win for Deion last week.
Yep. Yeah, if they get eight wins, and you're looking at a guy who's a top five receiver in the country, a top probably two corner in the country, and he's putting up – he's literally getting an interception a game. He's getting 100 yards receiving a game. It's tough. It's tough to deny that. This is going to be one of those years where I hope – like, I hope New York doesn't mess it up, and I hope the Heisman people don't mess it up where it's like, sometimes they invite three, sometimes they invite five. this needs to be a year, at least right now, where they need to invite five so that they can get JNT in, they can get Travis Hunter in, because you know there's going to be a few quarterbacks, whether it's Nico, whether it's like Carson Beck, even late this year, whether it's like just there needs to be five guys invited to New York this year.
Yeah, I'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could make a case for at least three. I think it's
you could say
it's going to be
Milrow, yeah,
Milrow, Hunter, and Jenty. I mean, those should be your three short shots right now. Yeah, but
Derek, can I ask one more thing? Because we always like doing the real late game Saturday night. Any thoughts on the Miami Cal game? The over under, and I just like to do this because I kind of think a lot of people I've heard like the under in that because Cal does have a good defense, but they don't score a ton, but they've scored 21-30. I think Miami, my argument is Miami, they want Cam to get the award. I mean, his last two games, over 400, over like close to 400.
I think those are made some points.
I think I could see this one being a little high scoring where a lot of people are on the under in this, where I kind of think it should be I could see this being an over because Miami last week defense did not look very good against a Virginia Tech team. And I think Cal can throw some points on this team. And it is a travel spot. And a lot of people like Cal plus I think it's 10 and a half off the top of my head. And I've even seen some people say this could be an upset. So I just like to get your thoughts because it's the late game Saturday night.
Yeah, I saw. So Cristobal is actually 0-6 versus Justin Wilcox, like with against the line. So even back to when he was at Oregon and coaching. So like there's been very, very close games. So I'm staying away from it because I think Miami's a lot better. They're traveling across the country. I just don't know if that was more of if last week against Virginia Tech is more of what we think Miami is because they haven't played anybody. It's like their best win of the year, like no offense, Q, but like was Florida. And now we're seeing, like we saw what A&M did against Florida. And like, so what do we really think Miami is? Because Virginia Tech, we didn't think was very good. And now that was a game that Virginia, like argument wise, like that catch at the end of the game.
So hey, I'm going to argue that was a catch. Miami was overrated. I said it on a previous show.
Yeah.
They don't play anybody.
Yeah, and now Justin Wilcox and Cal, like, they're great at home. Like, it's a sneaky home field advantage because it's one of those, like, out west where it kind of lulls you to sleep and it's going to be, kind of quiet. It'll be a slow first half, most likely. And then does Cam Ward do, like he did last week against Virginia Tech, where he reverted back to old Cam Ward and started forcing things and kind of became a turnover machine for a bit before kind of lighting it up in the second half. So, yeah, so I don't know. But like I said, Cristobal, 0-6 versus the spread against Justin Wilcox is that's a shocking number.
Game day. I believe game day's out there too, right?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be – because they had they changed the last minute. It was supposed to be Clemson, Florida State going into the season, and now they had to kind of find somewhere to go this week, and it just became Cal.
All right, Kyle just popped in and said, hate to say it, but I think the Vols may put a belt on you guys. I know. I don't like the line, though. I think it's weird.
Yes, Kyle.
I don't know why all the money's coming in on the Vols and the line's not moving.
Blowout.
Kyle. Because even if it gets to 14, 14 and a half, I could still make a case for Tennessee winning by 17, 18, 21. I don't know. I think it's going to be 41-20.
What's your take on that Tennessee team total? Like, do you think – can Arkansas stop Tennessee enough? Like, even if
I think so, simply because I don't know if Nico Iamaliava has been tested on the road against a good defense. Oh, wait, they just beat Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, I think it's attainable. It's whether or not they want to call off the dogs, though. I think it's kind of rinse and repeat exactly what Arkansas and Auburn was and what Tennessee and Oklahoma was. Fast forward a week, and you had Auburn and Oklahoma. Oklahoma probably should have lost that game, but they found a way to win, kind of like Arkansas did, despite all the turnovers. I think Arkansas and Oklahoma are pretty comparable, maybe a slight lean to Arkansas as far as offense, but that's only if Taylen Green can make checkdown passes and make accurate throws. So I think, it's going to be a tough environment to play in, but again – every excuse I could come up with of why I want to bet Arkansas, Tennessee has already done it. It's like a night game. Okay, prime time, on the road, hostile environment. Yeah, they just did it. Meanwhile, Arkansas hasn't played a top five team in God knows how long at home at night where it was on a big stage. We've never beaten Bama. We beat Texas under Sam Pittman. I'm trying to think back of big night games. But I don't know. Kyle, I like that Georgia pick. So I was considering, yeah, I think Kirby Smart, and they may win this game 24-0. I mean, I don't know if Kirby Smart cares to run it up. I just think it's going to be belt ass all week for that Georgia defense for allowing that many points by Alabama, and then they still had a shot to win it.
I think you could see a bloodbath. I think Georgia's offense is going to run it up because of how poorly they started the first half. And then, like you said, the defense is just going to be tearing them up all game long. And then back to the Tennessee thing, like, I think now Heupel, right, it went viral that he whispered in Nico's ear, hey, I called the dogs off, like, Oklahoma's lucky. I don't think, knowing him and his arrogance from UCF and, you know, kind of his arrogance with the high-flying offense of Tennessee, I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, it's just how he is. I think he's going to live by that now. Like, he's going to be like, yeah, we beat you and we played half speed. Because I don't think you can then just turn it on a team until maybe the national title and play this back and forth game. It's like, are you either all in or all out on this Nico Heisman, you know, kind of rumor mill? I think now he's going to do it out of spite and be like, yeah, we called the dogs off all season long. That's how good we are. We can win and not try. So
yeah,
they're kind of like that Oregon team where Dan Lanning clearly doesn't cover games intentionally. It almost feels like he doesn't care as long as they win. I think now Tennessee's going to do that out of spite, too, to prove a point of how good they are.
Yeah, Tennessee was that. The reason they did that against Oklahoma, they were down three starting offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They didn't want anybody else hurt. Like, there was a reason. There was a point behind it besides just a non-blowout factor.
I think he's going to keep it, though.
Yeah, and now they're healthy. So, like, they're coming off a bye week. I think they are.
I don't think he's going to want to get him hurt again.
Yes, and this is going to be the point where this is like ramp-up season for Tennessee because you have, like, so you're at Arkansas, then they have Florida at home. Next week, in 2 weeks, I believe, either the next week or 2 weeks. Then you have Alabama at home, so it's like this is kind of ramp up season for Tennessee to get it just like full go. They're fully healthy. I think this is yes. I think Tennessee is going to be Nico's going to play. Hey, maybe three quarters if we can get there. So,
look, I'm not saying Florida's any good. I'm way off, but that's a tough game every year. It doesn't matter just because they hate each other so much. Like each other in the mouth.
Actually, Q, you'll love this text. So, like, I'm obviously in a huge, like, sports guys group text of, like, Tennessee fans. And they said, so, like, when the first spread came out, it was Tennessee minus 20. And one of my buddies goes, don't worry, Tennessee fans will bet that down to single digits before next week. It's just how the Florida Tennessee games go. So, don't worry about that one.
Well, I love your Georgia play. I think Georgia put a thump in because what have we said over the last couple of weeks with the Auburn team? It doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. They turn the ball over.
Yep.
Just to make even more cases for Tennessee. Tennessee off a bye is 5-1 in the Josh Heupel era. They are coming off a bye. Tennessee 6-3 against the spread as a road favorite. So, I mean, all signs point to Tennessee here. I don't know why.
Take another case, Nick Hathcote, Tennessee resident, 13.5 covers.
Kyle said I missed the beginning of the show. Did you guys talk about UCF Florida? No, because Q asked that we not talk about that. Are you nuts for thinking Billy Napier pulls this one out? I wanted to bet UCF, but I was hoping they'd be a dog, and I don't know. What is it, UF plus two right now?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
They flipped. Florida was favored, and then it flipped to UCF.
Yeah, now I was hoping I could get a field goal with UCF, but after what they did last week, I don't know. This team may be flat. We've seen KJ Jefferson give up on a year before.
As bad as Florida is, they're supposed to win this game.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all season long.
Yeah, it took and the words right out of my mouth. As bad as Florida has been, it's not going to surprise me at all if they get this one.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't think the game – if they lose badly, Napier's gone. But I don't think Florida wants the way it's changed. I think they've kind of come to an under table agreement. The whole buyout money is already there. It's ready to be signed over and sent to his bank account, whatever his wired routing is. I think now it's to the point. There's so much issues at Florida. There's UAA issues right now. There's an intern president. You know, you got a coach that people want gone. Scott Strickland will be on his third coach. Like, there's a lot going on. So I think Florida, yes, the boosters are mad, rightfully so. The guys that write the checks, we all want him gone. I think he should be fired. Give somebody else, just give the guy something to play for. Hey, give this guy five games to maybe they go 4-1 miraculously, and this is a great story for Florida being good again. But I think at the end of the day, the numbers are kind of taking hold of this whole situation, and they're just saying, look, we're not going to be any better without him. Just let him finish off the season, and then we're already going to pay him, so it just lowers the 85% number down. So just give him the rest of the season because they don't have another guy. I mean, what are they going to do, bring in Dan Enos as the intern? I mean, that was the dumbest hire in college football history. He gets fired from Arkansas, and then we're like, oh, let's bring him in. Like, he's a first-round steal of the draft. No, they're not going to let him intern. So it's like, do we let the weightlifting coordinator intern? Things are just bad right now in Gainesville. But it does sound like there is a huge push from the university, which is huge, to make football great again. The pressure is on, and I think it starts next season.
I think I'll quickly go the other side of this. You can look at it from – I think Gus Malzahn sees this game for what it is. Like, I think this is a – when you talk about recruiting in the state of Florida, this is one of the games he's going to be able to talk about. And I think – and if Florida – and if you say, as Matt, you mentioned, like, has Florida kind of given up, or are they kind of looking for it next season? The last thing you want is somebody coming into your – is coming into the stadium just punching you in the mouth over and over and over. And that's what Gus Malzahn and Kay Jefferson are going to do. Like, they're going to try to run the ball straight up the middle, 4 yards, 5 yards at a time. And if you're defensive line and linebackers have given up, they're not going to want to keep getting just punched in the mouth. So, like, that's one of those things where to look at. Like, I could see Gus Malzahn taking this game as their, like, almost Super Bowl for the season. Like, after their – I think I would take this game differently if they had beat Colorado last week. But after them getting blown up by Colorado and kind of embarrassed against – especially, like, against the line – I think this is where Gus Malzahn might come out and, like, tell his team, like, if you want to be a legit contender in the state of Florida, like, this is a game you win. This is a game you punch Florida in the mouth, because you tell them, you tell your team that they quit, and you just keep going at them over and over. So I would probably lean UCF here. I would like them more as a bigger underdog for sure. Like, if it was +3, 3.5 would probably make me feel a lot better. But that's just how I see it. I think this just screams a Gus Malzahn, like, type of game that he just loves to win here.
There we go. Finally, better late than never. Threw it up there. Florida, slight favorite on our website.
I think last week against Mississippi State tells you Florida didn't quit, whether rightfully so. I think the offense is still trying to make things work and try to keep DJ Lagway. It's almost
number
like
one in rushing offense success rate versus the number 107th rushing
team points. I'd look at one of these teams,
but I think it's the
I think it's high scoring. Both teams in the defense aren't. Florida's defense is atrocious. Central Florida's defense looked really bad. You know, Jefferson, it just depends on how he throws the ball a little bit. I mean,
you don't have to throw. Florida can't tackle him.
I mean, we said that on the recap, how he lowered his shoulder and about destroyed some Colorado guys and stood over him and stuff. So run
this
him
is total over, I think.
Yeah, team points. I'd look team points.
Matt knows fat KJ is better than skinny KJ by far.
Yeah.
Just don't be like overdressed Sunday morning church service KJ, because that is not good.
Candy cane.
Lose 5 million. Well, I'm out of beer. We're out of time. But Sean had one question for the great. I wouldn't call us that. You were just here. What offensive players, when Charles Woodson won, were playing well?
Peyton Manning.
He just looked it up. Yeah. Woodson beat out Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning, and Randy Moss.
It's so hard for a receiver to win.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Come on.
Woodson should have won it. I disagree. Did everything that year.
Oh, my goodness.
Go Big Blue. Bring it home, baby. Bring it home.
Read the screen, Todd. Kyle said he agreed with you. I wish if Mertz was going to be the guy or not.
Over 62.
Wow.
That's higher than I was thinking.
We're at 60 on the website. I don't know.
Yeah, that's higher than I was thinking. That scares me away.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we're out of here.
Thank you all for tuning in. We will see you on Monday for the recap show. Until then, check out our Discord. I don't even know. It's on our website, collegefootballinsiders.com, and we'll post our plays in there. Also, we'll tweet out our best bets for the Pick'em contest. Until then, have a great weekend.